Please be seated, won't you? Good morning. Whenever this particular set of lessons come up, there's usually somebody the week afterwards, if I don't say something in the sermon about it, that comes up to me and says, why did we have that gospel this week? What's going on in the church? Because it says all this stuff about if a member of the church sins against you, go and talk to them. They think that somehow this is our way of dealing with a problem, right? It's really funny how many times that's happened. And I think about that because more often than not, when we read this lesson, because it says the word church and sin, it really ends up being about getting our way. In other words, we think of sin sometimes, I think, in our own culture, that if we don't get our way or someone stops us or some vote didn't happen quite right, then that's a sin, and then we have to work it out. Think about that for just a minute. Think about the last person that sinned against you. Was it an argument that you had? A disagreement? Did they sin against you just by being a Republican or Democrat? Do you know what I mean by that? Just the fact that they think differently than you. I think sometimes in our culture, we don't really know what forgiving is really about, or even what sin is really about, because we're so used to the freedoms and really not being too impeded upon in most of our life. Anybody stop you from getting out of your driveway today? Anybody point a gun at you this morning? Anybody act violently against you in the last week or things like that? Maybe that happens. But for the most part, our sins are disagreements, lack of correct viewpoints. And so maybe when we read this scripture, we don't really take it deep enough to understand what Jesus was really getting at. Any of you watched the news in the last couple of months? Right. How many of you watch TV, not just the news, but watch a television show a couple times a week or something? Anybody watch movies? Anybody look at the internet? Watch videos on CNN, something like that? Did you know that the average person is exposed to anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000 images of violence in a 7-day period for those who consume media on the average amount? What that means is a television show that you might watch, a movie you might see, for younger people, video games they might play, news things that come along, even just going on Facebook, the little videos that you might not actually stop and watch, but the images that are there, you're exposed to that much violence, that much challenge or difficulty. And you don't think about it, but you're constantly being exposed to it. So you don't know that sometimes children are exposed to gunshots and battles that are within their cartoons or other things, and this begins to have an impact on you. There's been lots of studies and different elements. Like one of my favorite studies was done where they took some kids and they exposed them to 30 minutes of violent TV, then put them in a room to play together. And they took some other kids and exposed them to 30 minutes of, like, Teletubbies. Do you remember that? You know, it's sort of like bouncing big things, kind of like clergy, you know, being really nice and singing gentle songs, and then let them play together. Well, what do you think happened? No, the people who watched the Teletubbies didn't act violently. They were gentle. The kids who walked the violent acts tended to push their way on others, and they tended to act in violent ways, and when there was a conflict that arose among them, they tended to resort to violence. So when we hear this scripture, think about it in our own context, and think about it in Jesus' context about what he was saying. And then listen again to the radical thing he's asking us to do. Now imagine just for a moment the one person, or many people it might be, that you can't forgive. Imagine that wrong that might have happened at some point in your life that you're still holding on to. I think many of us do, and I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but think of that, and that's the forgiveness that Jesus is talking to you about in the scripture. It's not just that you might have had a disagreement at a small group meeting or disagreement on the vestry or disagreement about a curriculum that was chosen or disagreement about this. It's the real hard things that we just can't let go of. He says, if that happens in the church, in other words, if that happens in the body is what Jesus means, in the community that you live in, not the congregation, but in the community that you're among, go to the person and tell them what happened. And let them know. Man, is that hard. Isn't it? It's hard, I think, sometimes just to go to the people who really love you and to tell them that something is not quite right. Think of going to a child or a spouse or a parent or a close friend when that one sort of fight happens and how hard it is to really talk to them about something like this. And then Jesus says, if they listen to you, forgive and good. If they don't, and you still think the wrong is there, take some witnesses. Hard work. Taking a couple of people with you and saying, I just need you to hear what's said between us. And you share that information. There's a couple of things that Jesus is being very wise about. One, by bringing other people with you, they're not just getting people to take your side, but they're there to listen and to witness. And you know how we behave differently when we know other people are watching? For instance, if I told you there's closed circuit television all around here and it's being broadcast on the internet, it's not, by the way, you would behave differently automatically. Did you know that? If you know that people might be watching you, you will change your behavior immediately. And so somehow in that interaction, Jesus is intuitive in that sense. He says, go and take two people with you so they might witness everything and listen. Listen to each other. And if you can forgive at that point, then good. The community is restored and move on. And then he says, if that doesn't work, take it to the community. Take it to the church. What Jesus is trying to teach in this lesson is that we work it out with each other. That we don't resort to violence, that we don't resort to casting each other out, that we don't resort to that, that we do every step we can to forgive and to listen to each other and to allow our hurts to be changed. He says it in the prayer he teaches us. And the funny thing is, if you say the Lord's Prayer at the beginning of the day when you first wake up, before you've talked to anybody else, okay, or gotten on your phone or anything like that, you are anticipating people hurting you and you forgiving them. Do you realize that? It's a prayer that tells you, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and teach us to forgive others because we'll need to forgive them. In other words, you have to anticipate forgiving other people because they're going to wrong you during the day. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. It's early in the morning. I've said it a couple of times, so forgive me. Kidding. That's a joke. But think about that. That the prayer that Jesus teaches you, the prayer that we start the day with, the prayer that is at the corner of our faith, tells you to forgive before you've even been hurt, to prepare for that. And to me, that's such the center point of Christianity. But it can be oh so difficult. Because we want to leave it at the surface of thinking that sometimes sins are just about disagreements and not really about violation. And we don't always really want to do that hard work. We'll be offering a class the next several weeks on this very subject. We're going to be working with Archbishop Desmond Tutu through his book and through his daughter's book, Rufoto's book, about forgiveness. And it's really interesting, if you've ever had a chance to listen to him, he led something really difficult. And it's easy to dismiss it because we think this isn't our culture, this isn't who we are, but we really should listen to what he has to say. He sat in front of thousands of people as they came forward and told their stories of what happened to them during apartheid in South Africa. An archbishop, a person with long flowing purple robes, who sat with queens and kings throughout history, who had the ears of presidents, listened to everyday people tell the stories of what had happened with the sole purpose of listening. His single role in that was to listen. Not to do anything, not to offer retribution, but to listen. In other words, he embodied this very scripture we hear today, this very scripture that we're listening to. He said, I will sit and I will listen. And then he asked them to forgive. And they worked on reconciliation. It's powerful human stuff. And he says something that's sometimes, I think, hard to really believe. He said there's nothing in the world, there's no action, there's nothing that someone could do that doesn't have hope and cannot be forgiven. And if you're like me, it's hard to imagine that because I can think of some things really quickly that might be really difficult for me to ever forgive. But then I think he's talking from God's nature, not our viewpoint. And that's the hard work of forgiving. So think about it this week, about the hard work of what it might be to forgive someone. Because the funny thing is when we don't forgive, we carry it with us. We hold that grudge. We hold on to that, and that unwillingness to forgive and that pain or whatever it is that happened defines our life more often than not. It determines how we act, what we do, how we behave. And that spiritual act of forgiveness, which might be the one thing you can do in your life, can set you free. And Jesus knew that, and he understood it. And he says to the community, do this hard work. But we fail. And tomorrow morning when we get up, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to ask that we might be able to forgive even as those around us might sin against us. Because we're human. Because we fail. Because sometimes winning the argument is more important than the relationship. So think about that this week. Who is it that you need to forgive? Who do you need to ask forgiveness from? And what might it be like to have that? To be able to let that go? In Christ's name we pray. Amen.